Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wee.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
It's a beautiful day.
We made it. Yesterday felt like a fake Friday, but today it's real. I woke up this morning and watched the WandaVision finale because I contain multitudes. I don't just watch Bravo.
I made it to season 8 of Wentworth, so I'm almost done.
Very excited for you. My actual project this week has been putting my Married to Medicine binge into high gear because it comes back on Sunday. So I now have, I have like 10 episodes left and like 3 days to do it. So it'll, I'm cutting it close.
Putting it into high gear. Like that's great. We do have to say though, we didn't say it yesterday, but it makes more sense. We're talking about Summer House today, that congratulations to Hannah Berner, cause she got engaged.
Yeah. It's very, it's very exciting. It's just funny because it's like, like so much has happened since they filmed this season that it's like, oh, great. But yeah, very exciting. We are going to get to Summer House. First, I want to touch on last night. Garcelle was on Watch What Happens Live, and they played a little game with her about Beverly Hills season 11. And so she gave us like a little bit of like sneak peek kind of tidbits that I want to go through because they're interesting. So first off, her biggest relationship 180, she said during the season, is with Kyle. So
I'm happy to hear
that
about
suggests that they're in a good place now, which I'm not surprised about. I feel like Kyle probably knows that coming after Garcelle wasn't like a great look. So she probably was very nice to her this season.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like their little fights and whatever they had last year, it's hard. I feel like there were so many of them. You know what Garcelle and Kyle remind me of? Because I don't want to say Kyle was coming after Garcelle, but it definitely reminds me a little bit of Brandy and Tiffany right now. How they're just like not getting it, but like maybe eventually they will.
Kyle was like in her head a little bit about her relationship with Garcelle.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so then she said Dorit annoyed her the most, and Crystal, our newbie, is the biggest grudge holder in the cast, which I'm excited to hear because I feel like Crystal's one of those people where her social media seems very like put together. She seems normal and pretty and rich. And it's I'm glad to have the suggestion that she's perhaps a little bit messy because that's not kind of the vibe she gives off. So,
okay, but Dylan, if people have that type of Instagram where it's so like done, don't you think they would be like that in real life because they need everything to be like, it kind of makes sense.
I guess. And then she said that Sutton asked about Erica's divorce the most of anyone and also cried the most, which that tracks. Not surprising to me.
You know, yeah, totally. But you know what? I feel like Sutton's like, you know what? Now's my chance. Oh, wait, never mind. That was Garcelle that asked her. I forgot. Remember, Garcelle was like, how do you have your money? I forgot. I was hoping that was Erica and then it could have been like a like comeback, but it wasn't. So
the last little tidbit is that she said she was shocked when she found out Erica and Tom were splitting up and that she said we see a very different Erica this season. So, I mean, who knows what that means, but they're definitely trying to make it seem like we're going to hear a lot about Erica's situation
TBD on on how that actually goes.
Yeah, I'm very, you know, Erica is closed off as it is. So when you bring in something like this, where it's like a legal thing, I don't know how she's going to go about it, but like, give us what we want.
Give the people,
give us what we fucking
say
want.
As much as you can legally say. That's my thing. Like, you don't need to get yourself in trouble, but like, spill the tea a little bit.
But keep us in mind.
Keep us. You are getting paid to be on a reality show. Don't forget. Also, Garcelle's new movie, Coming to America, is out now on Amazon Prime. Have you seen the original Coming to America?
God. No, but I literally saw a commercial last night for it with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, and Garcelle's in it. I've seen like part of the original. I feel like I need to watch it again and then watch the new one because I want to support Garcelle. And also, I'm sure it's funny.
And I also feel like when a sequel comes out, like you should always watch the original before to like pump yourself up,
right?
You know.
Okay. Without further ado, let's get into Summer House because this was an absolute doozy of an episode.
Wasn't ready for that.
Wasn't ready, but need to just highlight before we even start, this entire episode takes place in a single day, which is also a Monday. So
it's so funny you say that because when they always show the day like on the bottom of the screen. And I was like, at first I was like, Monday, why are they all there? But I forgot they're working remote. I was like, why aren't they all rushing back? No joke. I was so confused, but now it makes sense. I was hysterical for the first 5 to 8 minutes of the episode. Like I literally was like, I have to pull myself together for Carl. Like it was really hard to rewatch that. Like they left off with the phone call from his mom. And then he had, obviously it's difficult to rehave the conversation multiple times because everyone in the house needed to know. It was really like a very beautiful moment seeing all of them and also giving Carl his space while he needed it.
I thought everyone in the house was really just so supportive and so just really great. That moment when like five or six of them were sitting out on the front steps, just kind of being there with him. It was really touching. And I think this cast is kind of different from a lot of reality show casts in that for the most part, they are close with each other and they have real relationships. And in that moment, it really felt like everyone kind of took it's funny because I want to say they took a step back, but then we have like two explosive fights later in the same day. So like nothing really changed, but.
And then they kept going to Carl, like in his room. He's like, I don't have the brain power for this right now. Like, because he was and then they all said like, they obviously do feel, you know, bad or dumb fighting about such little stuff compared to like what Carl's going on in his real life. But it was, Carl made a beautiful post on Instagram the other day. Like, obviously he has to relive this while watching it, but he just like said, he's gotten so much support and it's like it's a real life thing that happens to, unfortunately, a lot of people. So we love Carl.
We love Carl. Carl heads out of the house later in the episode to go to to be with his family. We expect he'll be back, you know, probably in a few episodes. But there's so much more to get to because Hannah and Amanda are having a fight to end all fights, honestly. So obviously we have the aftermath of their blow up last episode. And Amanda is basically saying that they're at the point where her relationship with Kyle is in a good enough place. They've made the decision to be together and that if Hannah wants to be her friend, she needs to respect her relationship with Kyle, which I think is totally valid. And they almost have like a Teresa Jackie dynamic where they've both said things about
100%.
They've both said things that are objectively not great. And neither of them is in a position where they are willing to accept their part. So they're both like, apologize to me. No, apologize to you. I need an apology. Like,
I think that since you made that analogy, that Hannah is the Teresa in this situation. Oh. Are you in agreement with that or no? Not comparing like what she did on any means mm-hmm. to what Teresa did, but the fact that like Amanda's cool, calm and collected. She's like making valid points. She's like being, she's the one that went into Teresa. she's the one that no. went into Hannah's. Hannah's room first. Like she was like, we need to talk. Hannah had no interest in like going first because she thought she was owed an apology. But I was laughing so hard when Amanda goes, yeah, when I threw the cup, like that was like what you said was like fucked up. And Hannah goes, yeah, that was fucked up. And Amanda goes, wait, no, not what I did was fucked up. Like they were not on the same page for that. They seem to not be on the same page at all, actually, about their friendship in general. It was actually kind of like sad to watch because.
Yeah.
Are they friends or not?
Yeah. It's one of those things where I definitely think they both probably should just apologize for that whole situation because it was a mess. The difference I would say between the Jackie and Teresa comparison is that Kyle was an obvious kind of third party in this situation. And I think Amanda's yeah. response was more reactionary to Kyle and Hannah's situation. So it's interesting then that the bigger drama is between Hannah and Amanda and not Hannah and Kyle. I guess at this point, Kyle is just like, I don't care to try and be friends with Hannah, where
yeah.
Amanda feels like she's been there for Hannah and she's given her so much and she... that's being like disregarded. I don't know. I mean, yeah. this fight.
Sorry,
though,
I should say Kyle is the Teresa when he walks by and goes, "I will destroy Hannah Berner."
To be honest, Kyle might be the Teresa.
But the thing is, then Hannah called their relationship toxic. Paige is, which was like to Amanda, so out of left field. She was like, "Wait, what?" And then Paige, you can clearly tell. Well, she also admitted is Team Amanda in this, mm-hmm. but it's hard because when you have to have these conversations when you're making up with a friend, like or not making up, but you have to actually have the conversation. The issue with that is before you apologize, it could actually get worse, which seems to be happening right now because. By bringing up certain things, they got more mad at each other instead of apologizing and just kind of like brushing under the rug. So we'll see what happens because in previews for next week, we see them like fighting a little bit more where they're just getting like pissed off at what each other's saying. And I'm like, oh God, you guys are still in a house for another few weeks. Like, let's wrap it up.
I know it's hard because normally on Summer House, it's like you have these big fights and then you get your space for a few days. Yep. And this season, that's just not an option.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Another kind of little extra bit later in the episode is that we see Luke really trying to now like woo Sierra because he and Hannah are like officially over and she turns him down. And that moment was so satisfying to me.
That was great. But also the fact that Hannah said that she never saw Luke as boyfriend material. Like, but she's like, we're just trying to. I was like, you, yeah, what? I thought you guys were dating.
Never. Oh. I like that Sierra is like kind of giving Luke, you know, the boot for right now. I don't know if that's going to change in the future, but it's like there has been so much drama in the last like few weeks, and Sierra is still kind of getting her footing in the overall group. It's like, Luke, wait like a week before you try and,
yeah,
you know, like scoop Sierra again.
Sierra did a really good job though at like telling, putting Kyle in his place too, because she's like, listen, I'm starting on my own clean slate. Like, I'll figure out who I like and don't like, or who I get along with. But if I were Sierra in this position, I would totally just turn it around and start to use Luke for my own advantage. Like, you know, because she still has to get it in too. I mean, sex isn't everything, but it's like,
sex isn't everything, but it's something. Hey, I honestly, you know, we're in this time of pandemic. You're in this house with 9 other people who you can be confident are safe. You don't know once you leave the house the next time it's going to be appropriate to be intimate with someone.
Exactly. So, girl, we're just looking out for you, you know. But okay,
I would be like, yeah, if I were in that house, I would be having sex the minute I got there, you know,
with
like
whoever, the second the quarantine's over. I would put a sign on my door and be like, "You may enter." No, I'm kidding.
Open for business, honey.
All right. Well, we have to get what we've all been waiting for, which is the cringiest dinner of the land, literally. Lindsay's birthday dinner. Lindsay's birthday extravaganza, which, by the way, we shouldn't
extravaganza.
Say it. Extravaganza. We can't compare it to what Amanda did for Kyle, because we should not bring that up, because that was amazing. And this was subpar, I shall say.
You know, we could see this coming from, you know, 25 miles away, that Stephen was not equipped
even
to
further.
give Lindsay, we could see it all the way from the city, that he was not equipped to give Lindsay the birthday she desired. And it, so I had this sense of dread, and he's like, the whole day before, he's like telling everyone that he needs to get ready, and, oh, can you distract Lindsay? And, you know, there's going to be, he's telling her what time to be ready. Let me tell you, the first shot they showed.
I'm sorry,
of just,
I can't stop laughing. It's
the
just
table.
So
just that empty shot of the table with the tablecloth, and there's like plastic plates and no silverware, and like one little vase of flowers and just takeout containers.
You guys.
Oh, it was so sad. It was devastating.
I can't, because this poor guy thought he was going above and beyond. And listen, I am not putting down the fact that he, you know, it was very thoughtful what he did, like that he went to the place. He combined her dinner and anniversary, by the way, because it was her birthday dinner, but he ordered in from the place that he asked her to be his girlfriend. So, okay, that was nice. That was thoughtful. But like, he claims he spent the whole week planning this, the whole week they were fighting. He kept saying, I did this for you and I want. And you can see behind Lindsay's eyes, me and her were on the same page. What did you plan? It took you this long to plan what? You just ordered in dinner. Like, you didn't.
Right.
There was no like surprise. There was no.
He didn't make her fish and chips.
He didn't make the dinner. You're right. Like, I was like, what am I missing something? Like, he could have even brought the present outside. He didn't even do that. Then you can tell when he forgot the silverware. I was like, oh God, Stephen. Oh God, run. Just don't come back out.
I agree. Like, to me, it's the kind of thing where Lindsay Hubbard is a lot. Like, yes, she is. Most people probably would not be able to handle dating her. But for all of Lindsay's flaws, she is extremely clear about what she expects and what she feels she deserves. And so the fact that Stephen was like sitting at that table being like, what's wrong with what I did? Like, it's not that there's anything wrong with what he did in like a, in like, if you took it out of context, it's like, yeah, that's a nice night. Like, you did something nice, but it's so obvious that it wasn't on the same page with what Lindsay was expecting from him. She thought she was going to be on a yacht with an engagement ring.
Because
like it's the, I saw some people online when the episode was on kind of being like, Lindsay's just being mean for no reason. No. Like, what did she expect? Like, it's a pandemic. And it's like, I agree. Like, I'm the kind of person, I don't feel some type of way about my birthday. Like, I'm not, I don't like need people to like do shit for me like that much. So I probably would have been fine with that. But it was so clear that Lindsay's expectation was higher. Mm-hmm. And so for him to be with her and just like miss that mark so much, that was the issue. It wasn't that the dinner was disgusting. Right. It wasn't that the table was gross. It was that it just was not.
Tell us how you really feel, Dylan.
It was not what she asked for at all, really. Like, right. She asked correct. To be impressed.
You're right. And the other issue is that she made it clear they don't do this ever. So she was expecting this. He could have done on like a random Wednesday during the week when they're dating. So she looked at that while instead of it being bigger for her birthday. And so
right.
It explodes. Like, he goes inside. And also, sorry, side note, she also was turned down a little. I know I said this to you earlier, because like he told her to be ready by a certain time. And so she was hiding out in her room, whatever. And then she came outside and she was like, wait, what was I hiding out for you to not even put this on real plates? That could have taken an extra minute, but it didn't. But then they go inside and he's serious. He leaves. Which, you know what? He needed to. They're not on the same page, and this needed to happen for them to break up.
Yeah, I mean, Danielle says that she thinks Lindsay was, with this birthday expectation, was kind of throwing herself a Hail Mary of being like, subconsciously she knew it wasn't working, and this was kind of giving her an out, which I agree with. I definitely think from both of their ends, it had to be clear that it wasn't really like working out the way they wanted it to. And so I'm glad that now they can both move on, because they just seem super incompatible.
The conversation, there's not even a conversation there. Like, it's hard to watch, you know. Like, I'm glad it's over. Actually, I think Danielle is happiest that it's over. She was like, hello.
Danielle is thrilled. Danielle is thrilled. She gets her friend back.
Aww. Does Danielle have a boyfriend now? Like, why? Does she not?
In real life, I don't know. On the show, I don't think we've heard about anyone. Okay. I feel dumb because I low-key forgot that Danielle and Carl used to date.
Yeah.
She like mentioned that last night, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Okay, great episode of Summer House. Let's talk about Below Deck Sailing just a little bit, because this week was the premiere. I enjoyed it. Obviously, the season is just getting started, but I think it's off to a promising start. This crew seems like they have a lot of potential for drama and excitement.
I was just going to say for mistakes. No, we
that too.
First episode, I'm always like, yay, a female chef. I don't know why I get so excited when I see a female chef, but oh boy. Episode one, you're done in my book. Like, I thought she was absolutely wrong for what she did.
You don't like Natasha?
I thought with that situation, she was not right. Because I love Dylan. I love when because we've seen this show so many times. Like, we know what to do. We know protocol. We've mentioned this before. Like, we know the schedule. We know how it works. But, like, it's true. Like,
actually, according to maritime law.
Yeah, you do not make breakfast and a full breakfast before seeing or speaking to anybody. You don't even know if the guests are up yet. Like,
Yeah, huh? That was weird because it's, yeah. So this whole breakfast thing, it's like, they were up super early, but then the guests wanted to go sailing. Yeah. And she was like, no, I made a sit down breakfast. And they were like, okay, well, like the guests literally told us they want to go sailing instead. And she's like, but I made a sit down breakfast.
She was like, so start taking it. They were like,
yeah, okay. I felt I did. I definitely was on Daisy's side. Chief Stew Daisy, who has a great Irish accent.
Yes.
I was, because it was like, she's the one that has to go tell the guests, like, hi, so you just told me what you want to do, but that's actually not what we're going to do. And the only reason is because the chef doesn't want to.
Okay. Like, but here's the thing in these situations. Chief Stew, at that point, don't try to prove a point and make the chef wrong. We know she's wrong. Put your foot down and do what is going to make the guests happy in that situation. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what are you trying to prove? Like, okay, we know that. So what are the guests going to do now? So just do what the guests want. And who cares if you fight with the chef for a minute? Just get it done. See? Chief Stew right here, Barry.
Chief Stew material. Captain yep. Glenn, don't forget.
But we also, I want to talk about Jean-Luc, because he is 6'9". He's a deckhand. And I can't even imagine for someone as tall as him, or if anyone is a certain, you know, height, whatever, how many times they hear, oh, wow, you're so tall. Can you imagine? Like, he's like, yeah. Yeah. I'm still this tall as I have been always.
He is extremely tall, and Captain Glenn is quite short. And so seeing them together is like very funny.
When they showed him, he said he's been lucky enough to always fit in a bed on the boat. And when they showed how long the bed was and then compared to how long he was, I was like, that is horrible. On nights that there's no guests, he should be allowed to sleep like in a guest room. I am making some valid points today.
You're like, actually, according to maritime law,
if you don't fit in the bed, you can sleep elsewhere.
It's an unspoken rule. But Jean-Luc, he can't fit in the bed, and he also can't quite get his work done, it seems, because on like day two, he already has missed out on like half of his cleaning duties. So that seems like it might be a little bit of a brewing conflict between Jean-Luc and First Officer Gary, who
is hot.
Gary is like already, you can tell, the one who wants to hook up with everyone on the boat. He's like, I've never been on a crew before where everyone's hot.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can we also talk about the fact that Jean-Luc poured diesel gas all over the deck? Mm-hmm. Because that's a minor problem. I would put that up there with the mustard gas situation.
Okay, to be fair, it was in an incorrectly labeled bottle.
That is fair, but so,
like,
smell it.
Maybe he should have smelled it, but also like it wasn't like it was an understandable mistake.
Totally.
I'm liking this crew though. I like Daisy.
Yeah.
And I like that she has a really experienced second stew and then a third stew who's like, I took a class.
Well, I think Jean-Luc is like that too. He was like, I've been in this for a year, and the other, what's her name? Allie and, Danny.
Danny. Danny's the Brazilian one.
The stews seem like really capable of doing their job. But I also just want to point out that this first charter seems really fun and like rock and roll, and I love it. But the primary is vegan, so she doesn't want any meat or fish on the entire boat. And like, I just feel like that's not fair to anybody else. Like, if you don't eat something, you don't have to, but I feel like it should be allowed in the vicinity. But she says that the guests are allowed to eat fish. She'll allow them to eat fish. But
yeah, I understand doing that like in your house. Like if you have a dinner party and you want to make everyone eat vegan, that's fine. But like you're chartering a boat for 3 days. Like let them eat what they want.
Yeah, but it's bizarre, but you know what? I hope she's not one of those people where she's like, I'm paying, so you better fucking listen and do whatever I say.
I do like that this is the first post-pandemic, or I guess during pandemic season.
I'm sorry, is it over? Like, is the pandemic over?
It's the first COVID era Below Deck season, and however they are doing their protocols, we basically aren't hearing about it at all. We just assume that these guests have quarantined or whatever before they get on the boat.
Right.
And it's like, It's so refreshing.
Yeah.
It's so nice that they mention it. Like, they do mention it in the episode, so it's not like they're pretending it doesn't exist. But it is so nice to see a new Bravo show where we just, like, don't have to watch them, like, pretend to wear face shields and stuff.
Yeah. And unfortunately, though, we leave off for the episode where the guests are gone and no one can find them. So I hope that next week, like...
Wait, I forgot about that.
They're gone. Like, they're gone. So we might end this charter early. I hope everyone's okay, but we don't know where they are. Like, they have vanished.
Oh, my God. I'm excited for the season, though. I feel like last season kind of was a little bit of a slog by the end with the Jenna and Adam stuff. And this season, it's nice to just have a refresh. Hopefully there's some, you know, all-stars that emerge from this cast. But either way, I'm down to have a good time. Croatia is beautiful.
I do.
Sailing is exciting. I will say, like, my heart, like, flutters a little bit when the boat first, like, starts to keel.
Every
I'm like,
time.
Oh, yeah.
No, sails. But every time they start to play that music and then the sails go up, I'm like, this is so fucking badass. Like, I want to do this.
It is funny. They play, like, Pirates of the Caribbean music, and it's like, bum, bum, ba-da-dum, bum, 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 bum,
like,
bum,
we're
bah.
In the Disney like, world, now we're literally, sailing. On the Disney ride. Like, I was like, okay, I feel like a pirate's, like, really going to come out, like, with a sword and, like, jump and swing through the things, but whatever, it's fine. We don't have to go there.
Oh my God. Well, on that note, everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening. don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Batches, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Batches.